This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and it's time for the Kenai Conversation. Back in March, when we were all hurtled into pandemic mode, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District ramped up an e-learning program to allow education to continue for the fourth quarter. We talked to a parent, a teacher, and a principal on the eve of e-learning to see how they were feeling about the switch. This week, we checked in with those same people to see how things have gone, what was better than expected, what might have been a little worse, and what they all wouldn't give to go back to school as usual. In this hour, we'll hear from Krista Cady, the music teacher at Kaleidoscope School of Arts and Science in Kenai, Sarge Truesdell, principal at Skyview Middle in Soldotna, and Amber Douglas, a mom with three kids now learning at home in Nikiski. Up first, here's Krista.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Krista. How are you?
I'm doing good. Sitting here in my classroom.
All by your lonesome, probably.
All by my lonesome. Well, I've got my KDLL public radio keeping me company.
Oh, well, that's nice. So generally, just to start off with, how has this crazy experiment been going for, especially for a music teacher that presents some interesting challenges?
Yes, well, I definitely have been able to put together the content, whether it's in, you know, analog, paper format, or video. I try to make sure that there's a paper lesson version of whatever I do, and then I upload that to my Google Classroom, and all of our school has been using the Google Classroom platform. And then not only can I add that document as a PDF to my classroom, then I will go ahead and make a video of myself going through that document for the students if they want to watch that and see how it is actually done. So I've actually gotten, you know, good response from kids, either just typing me a message saying, hey, I did it, or that was fun, or sometimes their folks will even take a video of them and send it to me so that I can see their work. And that's really satisfying because I miss them so much.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you had some plans and some ideas going into this here in March. Mm-hmm. What worked out the way that you thought it might and what did not?
Oh, boy. Okay. Being able to stay organized has really been successful. I feel like I'm really glad that our whole school went the same route. I know some colleagues who in other schools who some teachers are doing Canvas, some are doing Google Classroom, some are doing their own websites. And, you know, it's nice to be able as a teacher to do what works for you. But I think when it comes to the families at home, it's hard in some instances for them to have to learn a lot of different approaches to getting their kids assignments and turning things in. So yeah, it's been great using the Google Classroom and being able to stay organized. I really had high hopes of doing big group meetings and having a final concert, especially for the fifth graders. Actually, yesterday was supposed to have been our fifth grade concert at the high school, where we do lots of acting and instrument playing and singing. And it was kind of a sad day knowing that they didn't get a chance to do that. And I had hopes that maybe I would do some kind of a virtual concert. But when you cannot practice and I don't really know who's logging on and who's not, I had to let that go. It was sad, but I had to let that go.
Yeah, that's kind of a whimper of a ending of a school year in all levels, from kindergarten all the way up to graduating seniors. You don't get to have you don't get to finish out your sports seasons. You don't get to have your end of the year concerts. You don't get to have your normal graduation ceremonies.
One little fun surprise, though, that I'm preparing for the fifth graders, and I don't know how many fifth graders listen to public radio, so I'm not too afraid of a spoiler.
I'm going to guess we're safe.
Ever since they've been in kindergarten, I, you know, keep photos in a folder of them throughout the years, either when they're in a concert or when they're practicing here in the music room, different activities that we're doing. So I'm putting together a little slideshow of them throughout the years. And I'll put some background music, a track of them singing the song One Voice from when we did our joint community concert here a few months ago. I don't remember, actually, before Christmas when we sang with the Kenai High School and the Aurora kids and the Mountain View kids. So that I was just listening to them singing that song and looking at some of the photos, and boy, was it making me tear up. It's a anticlimactic for sure, not to be able to, you know, do our whole celebration at the end, but I wanted to prepare something for them to let them know that how special that they've been to me over the 6 years they've been here.
So kind of anticlimactic for you and not having the end of the year concerts. How do you think it's been for kids? Do you think they're missing out on the in-person part of it, or are they just so digital savvy now that they're just rolling with it and are totally happy?
Wow. I think there's a spectrum, you know, depending on what students have available for technology at home and how many kids are having to share the technology. We're fortunate in that we've had this gorgeous weather that we've been having, but really, that makes it even harder when you're at your own house, you know, and you don't have a designated time when you have to be in school. So I almost feel like that kids are probably feeling the tug of summer more so than they would be if they were in the classroom. That being said, there are probably half a dozen kids in each grade level who have just been rock stars and, you know, getting their lessons in, sending in videos, commenting to the other kids in their classroom, and they're making the most of it. But I know that people are really missing just the human element. I mean, how can you not?
And how's it been within your school? I mean, you're probably one of the few teachers who are actually physically in their classroom, I would imagine. But I know you guys collaborate quite a bit online as well. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling like teachers are a little over this whole thing too? Have they been getting into it? Is everybody just ready for it to be summer?
Well, I know the teachers are having fun doing their Google Meets with kids. And every once in a while, I'll pop in as a special guest into a classroom, or the PE teacher will, or the science teacher will. I think that as time has gone on and they've collaborated with their own grade level teams, they've really gotten the hang of it and doing a morning message video style. And don't forget to really give the kudos to the school district. I mean, they have given us training beyond what I thought we were going to need even. I mean, it was like every day there was a whole menu of things you could select from, whether it's technology or self-care, how to do your own electronic, whatever platform you're using. It's just been really, really, really satisfying. But in terms of the teachers, I think there are a few who are still just working in their classroom here on a regular basis because, I don't know, whether they either don't have internet, satisfying internet at home, or it's just better for them to be in their space when they're talking to kids regularly throughout the day. But every 2 weeks, the teachers here, we have a materials pickup for our students, and they get their lesson materials and books and things like that that we're sending home. So we all meet out in the parking lot and hold up signs for them and sing to them and dance for them and just get a chance as the kids are waving by in this kind of surreal parade, you know, from behind the windows of their car. We're all waving at them, and yeah, we'll get through it, but it's not preferable.
What kind of content do you feel like has been pretty successful to deliver via distance, and what maybe less so? You talked about, you know, you're not able to practice as a group, so obviously that's mm-hmm. been a challenge. But yeah. You were also trying to figure out the balance between, you know, like uploading text information about lessons and activities versus mm-hmm. doing videos of yourself demonstrating things. How has that evolved?
Well, it's really hard to say because I know the kids are getting the information that I'm putting out there, but it's really, I'm not getting as much back as I would like to be able to say, okay, checkbox, these students are really understanding this skill or this concept. And we weren't expecting that anyway. We're really not teaching new material and expecting this to be the only time that they're getting it, and then we're moving on in the fall. This is, you know, presenting material, but not necessarily assessing for mastery. I think one of the most successful things has been in third and fourth grade. You know, I sent the fourth graders, when they were in third grade last year, all got a take-home soprano recorder. And at the very, very beginning of this whole distance learning thing, I sent home then recorders in the packages for the third graders that we have now. So now all the third graders and fourth graders have soprano recorders, much to probably many parents' dismay. But every 2 weeks, I send home a practice packet that always includes a fingering chart and reminders of how to practice. And then I go through those packets myself, and I make videos of myself going through the packet and using one of the cool screencasting apps that we have, where I can embed myself in a webcam in the corner, and then they can look at my desktop or my screen and see the music right on there. So they can play along with me. And I've just really enjoyed the contact that I've had from students telling me, you know, hey, I played this song, or here's me playing this song, sending me a video, you know, because we can't play the regular classroom instruments that we have here, because not everybody has them at home. And doing a folk dance, for example, I just don't know. I mean, I've done some movement videos, but it's not the same thing as doing like a square dance.
Okay. And for you, when you're doing videos, what has been the difference between, you know, delivering content to kids in person versus being a YouTube star now?
Yeah, okay, well, this is probably something that will resonate with most of the teachers. I was particularly paying attention to the fact that I wasn't having to stop myself mid-sentence every 5 seconds to, don't put that in your mouth. Stop talking to that person. Hey, boys and girls, look up here. You know, it was like I was actually getting to deliver the lesson and have it be like a coherent idea from start to finish, which was just, you know, kind of funny. I mean, when you're in the classroom, obviously you want to be with our kids, but I do not have to stop for anyone. I can just keep going.
There you go. Nobody's asking you for bathroom passes or...
That's right. That's right. We don't have any of that kind of stuff.
Silver lining, I suppose.
Yeah.
And obviously no one knows what the heck is happening from here on out. But if for some, let's hope not, but for some reason, mm-hmm. if this does need to continue into the fall, do you feel like at this point education, you know, distance education, online education is still getting kids what they need, or has this been the best we can do under difficult circumstances?
The best we can do under difficult circumstances. I mean, this is not the way to have school. And I know that some changes are going to have to be made, and they're being talked about already. Just in the last week, did I really even start to hear inklings among my colleagues and, you know, just in the stuff that I see online about, you know, well, what are we going to do in the fall? And I just thought, oh, well, in the fall, we'll be going back. But people are starting to talk about, how is it going to look different? How is it going to be different? How is our schedule maybe going to change? And boy, I sure wish that it could just go back to normal, you know, but there will be some changes that need to be made, because it's not like, oh, well, school has started and the virus has decided to just, you know, stop being itself.
Yeah, we unfortunately can't send it to the principal's office and tell it to stop interrupting class, virus,
exactly.
Knock it off.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what that looks like. I hope for the kids' sake, especially the middle and high schoolers who have, you know, music competitions and sporting events and practices and stuff like that. It's just heartbreaking to know that all of those things are being canceled right now. I mean, just think of the graduations that aren't happening. The solo and ensemble festival was either this weekend or last weekend for high school kids. And, you know, I hear about that from my son, who's going to be a junior next year. And he's just like, Mom, if we can't have, you know, sports practice after school, or if I can't do concerts, well, that's what keeps me excited about being there.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of kids. You know, they're missing out on, even if it's just a social aspect of school, they're missing out on all the fun stuff that comes with going to school, sports and music and extracurriculars and seeing their friends. And it's got to be tough to be motivated to just do the online work part and not get to have any of that extra stuff.
Well, I know that the district has been, you know, I don't know if it's, they're calling it a task force, but they are definitely having conversations. And I don't think it's too soon, you know, about how they're going to configure next year's approach. And that, along with the fact that John O'Brien is going to be resigning at the end of this school year, we'll be having a new superintendent. So that'll be something in the mix as well.
Yep. Changes are not quite done with us yet, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you have learned about distance education or yourself or students through this process?
I really enjoy making videos. iMovie is really fun. I am prepared. If I need a substitute, if we go back to school and we're in the classroom and I need a substitute teacher, boy, do I have lesson plans ready to go.
Yeah, there you go. Just push play on yourself and hope
exactly.
The kids watch
they won't
the
be missing out. Yeah.
Well, anything else that you would want to add or you think would be helpful for folks to be aware of?
Well, this is not normal. I feel bad for the kindergartners that we just had this year who think, you know, their memories are short. And in terms of like thinking about school, I certainly don't want them to be carrying with them that, oh, this is what school is like. You know, it's so much more. We need kids in the hallways. We need kids on the playground. We need kids learning together and working together. And yeah, we just need to be together. It seems science fiction, you know, everybody logging onto their computers to do school. It seems way more futuristic than I was thinking that we were going to be seeing in my lifetime.
Right. Yeah. And we don't have the benefits of like teleporting or anything either that
right,
come
on now.
With this point in technology.
I want my Jetson's kitchen where I can just say what I want and then have it appear in the little window.
That would be nice. That would be a decent trade-off, I feel like.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking time for me. I've been curious how things have been going for you, so thanks for checking in.
You're very welcome, and thank you. All right, Jenny, take care.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Krista Cady, the music teacher at Kaleidoscope School of Arts and Science in Kenai. And this is the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. We're checking in about how e-learning has been going in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Next, we'll hear from Sarge Truesdell, principal at Skyview Middle.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm finally getting my, right about the time school year is ending here soon, I'm getting my virtual principal duties down.
Well, hopefully they will not be necessary again in the
fall. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So how's it been going over there?
You know, it really has been significantly better than I would have imagined the last time we talked. You know, I knew our teachers here, and I'm speaking I could probably speak to multiple different buildings and things just because of my conversations with principals and stuff. And so I could speak kind of generally about the school district, but as a whole. But in our building, it's done very well. I knew our teachers would be able to get up and running distance-wise pretty easy because we already had some expectations with regards to how much of their content needed to be linked online, and several of our teachers had moved all their classes to Canvas, you know, which is a distance tool already prior to that, and so that transition was actually fairly simple, really simple for some, a little more difficult for others, but everybody in that 2-week time period really got up and running well. Where I had feared, you know, my pessimistic attitude, which normally I'm not a pessimist, but I felt like we were going to have just a lot of students just be done, just check out and completely be done. And that didn't happen. You know, we checked out almost 200 Chromebooks. I think 178 was the exact number of Chromebooks that we checked out. So devices to kids who either didn't have a device at home or had multiple kids at home and not enough devices. And so, I mean, that's almost half of our student population came and got a Chromebook. And because of that, you know, we were able to have a lot of engagement. Our teachers just took off. We were able to create some ways to schedule classes to where they weren't on top of each other. And we worked hard together on that with some shared documents with where teachers were setting up their live broadcasts and how we were going to do that. That was a little bit of a puzzle at first because, as you can imagine, you know, we have 22 certified teachers. Some of them overlap students, obviously. And so creating that where live Zoom meetings didn't overlap with kids needing to be in two places at one time, we were able to get that all up and running. And teachers have had, you know, really pretty solid attendance in those. And we're asking our teachers to reach out weekly to students who they haven't heard from. And we created some, again, shared documents for that so we could kind of see. And in the end, out of over 400 students, I think we had 16 students is all. That number might be 18, but just in the teens with students who did not engage at all. So kids who just kind of shut it down at spring break, there was really only either 16 or 18 out of our over 400 students that did that. You know, some have come in and come out and not maybe been engaged every week in lessons, but for the most part, the vast majority of kids have. And, you know, as a staff, we've met regularly, discussed how we're going to do grades and communicated that with parents and so on. So I would say that the vast majority of things have been really positive. There's been a lot of learned skills from kids all the way through students with how to do distance ed. Probably I should include parents in that as well, because our parents have been pretty incredible with regard to changing their lives to become homeschool parents and communicating with teachers and doing the best they can.
And one of the things you were particularly unsure of how it was going to go is kids without internet access at home, the divide between kids who can log on and do the Zoom stuff and kids who have to do the old school paper and pencil work. How did that end up?
You know, I would be lying if I didn't say there was still a large divide between the two groups. We had, I think, less than 50, somewhere in the 48, 49 families who did not have internet and had to go with paper packet information. Right out front of my office here, I'm looking through my glass windows into the office, and there's about four tables lined up with paper pencil work on it, and it's organized by my secretaries with what teachers those are and so on, because we tried to get every family the full 7 weeks of work to take home with them. But obviously we missed several families, or paperwork got lost, or all of those kinds of things. And so we have that set up here so that when parents called, our secretaries were quickly able to grab the work and get it outside for someone to come pick up. So we did have a good plan for that, and we did get lots of paper pencil work out to those families. And a lot of them, even though they didn't have internet, they still had phones. So they were able to take pictures of their work and, you know, upload that to teachers for feedback. Some kids didn't necessarily have phones, but their parents did, or their parents maybe had internet at work. So they were able to take pictures of their work, and then when parents got to their employment or wherever they had internet, they were able to send it. So we were able to do a little bit of the back and forth feedback with families that just had to take pencil paperwork. But I would say that still in the end was not as smooth as we would have liked. It's one thing to get work, but it's another thing to be able to receive feedback on it and redo the work, or move on to something that's more difficult if you were able to master the material, or receive intervention if the work was too hard. And that's a piece of stuff when you just send packets home that you're not really able to accomplish.
And then you also had some particular concern about more hands-on classes like music and art and shop. And I know your teachers were kind of trying to come up with creative ways to still deliver some kind of content. But as you said, it's kind of tough to teach a shop class without kids actually being in shop class.
Yeah, pretty impressed there with what our teachers did. Our exploratory teachers came together and created a kind of group for them that gave kids choice with several different items and where they could basically receive credit, if you will. I do credit like in quotations because we're not a credit-based school because we're a middle school. The teachers really kind of let them complete one of these activities, and it worked kind of across the board. So even kids who, let's say, were in art, if they wanted to go and choose something in one of these other areas and accomplish it and send pictures of it in and so on, they were allowed to. And lots of good examples of that have been posted on our webpage and stuff where kids have decided to go and do something different in an exploratory option. And so let's say you didn't have shop on your schedule, but you're rebuilding the deck at home. Our art teacher said, great, do that as your elective. Send me pictures of you and your dad rebuilding the deck, and we'll, count that as your elective for the quarter. So our teachers really worked together to kind of whatever students were able to complete. We had students that were cooking at home, and we don't have home ec, at the middle school anymore. But if kids were doing that and sending in photos, our teachers were providing them feedback and working with them on that. So within our electives, I think that went really well. Matter of fact, we had a lot of parents who kind of enjoyed having some freedom with regard to that, and that worked out really well. Report card wise, we're given a lot of no grades in our elective, NGs. We don't want their transcript to reflect that they were in art if they actually did not accomplish, the standards in art. But because our electives are quarterly, some of those students never actually even stepped foot in the fourth quarter into art. And so we don't want it to look as though they did, but at the same time, they were engaged in that. And so I feel like we did a good job with our exploratory stuff, knowing that kids couldn't be in the shop or couldn't be in the art room or couldn't be in the band choir room or couldn't be in robotics. We had a plan for them to be able to still be engaged in some exploratory activities.
And so talking about grades and credits, and the district's policy was basically hold harmless for this quarter, which could make it kind of difficult to maybe motivate kids to get things done too, especially when, there's no sports or anything else that they need to get tests finished for or get keep grades up for. So how do you feel that ended up going with students? You mentioned there's less than you thought that just kind of checked out at the end of the year, but was this kind of like a new paradigm, kids getting stuff done to get stuff done, or because they're engaged without any sort of, threat of grades or carrot of grades? Kids feel all kinds of different ways about grades, obviously. But the motivation end of it for kids, how do you think that went?
Yeah, I kind of like what you said, the paradigm of, getting work done to get work done versus doing it to achieve a grade. That's always been a goal of mine. It's certainly the way I visit with my own children in my house. I don't care near as much about the grade you get as I do about the information that you've learned and mastered. It was a great opportunity fourth quarter, and maybe this is the Pollyanna view, that we talk to kids way more about the content, way more about mastering the material than we care about the grade. Because since your grade can't go down, no matter what you do, no matter if you completely check out or not, then let's just talk about the material and the importance of it. I feel like there was some shift in that regard. The kids that are engaging know that their grade is held harmless, but yet they're still showing up every day and they're still turning things in and they're still asking for help and they're still working through it. I've always hoped that there would be a point in time where students and teachers could get their minds really off of the letter grade A, B, C, D. And we know we still have to do that because that's the way colleges operate, and you have to have a GPA and stuff for them to recognize what your transcript is. But this was a good opportunity to really focus more on the material, more on the need for mastering the material so that next year when you are in another class, you have the prerequisite knowledge down. And I think that in some respects, it worked out really well. Again, I know that every school had some kids who said, oh, I'm good. And I know it's difficult. I look at my own children who are at the high school level. I'll use my daughter as an example. She's in Algebra 2, and her grade just went up, 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 up. But I'm looking, and there's a couple assignments she hasn't done. And so it's not going down for those assignments she didn't do, but it's going up for the ones she did do. And it felt weird. It felt like, no, your grade shouldn't just be going up because you have a couple things you haven't accomplished. But I think we all needed to kind of put that aside and look more at, okay, we recognize the grade's not going down, so maybe just even stop looking at your overall grade. And now let's just pay attention to what's been assigned and what you need to accomplish and how did you do on the stuff that was assigned. Oh, you know, Mrs. Merkis said I need to, that this wasn't right. Okay, well, then go back and fix it and turn it back in and get some more feedback. So, you know, to me, as soon as that grade thing happened, those students that didn't check out really got an opportunity to do things the way it should be. And the way it should be is let's focus on the material and mastering the material and not necessarily on the letter grade that corresponds.
You had also been talking about how fourth quarter is often the prep period for the class they're going into next. So, you know, pre-algebra goes into algebra and so forth. Do you feel like kids are going to be able to take off without recap? Do you feel like kids have pretty much mastered what they need to master and can just move on from here?
I don't think that anybody believes that kids learned as much this fourth quarter as they would have had they been coming to school. I mean, I'm sure that there are some kids who did, but I think the vast majority of our students missed some content with being afar this quarter. And so, you know, our school district does a really good job already in the fall with progress monitoring every student when they walk in the door. You know, we do what's called MAPS testing, measure of academic progress. And so our students come in and basically on about the second day of school, we take them through pretty extensive reading, writing, and math assessments. And then we use that data to make sure that we have our students appropriately placed in classes, you know, advanced classes or remedial classes as needed. And we already have student data. If you've been in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District your whole life since kindergarten, then we have lots of data on you already. And so if your incoming tests are maybe higher or lower than they normally would be, we consider that maybe a little bit of an outlier and we do more testing. We're fortunate at Skyview. I would say I use the word fortunate. Sometimes it's not fortunate, but we have six feeder schools, you know, six elementaries that come into Skyview Middle School versus a school like, let's say, Kenai Middle or Nikiski Middle, who has one feeder. You know, Mountain View comes into Kenai Middle and maybe some kids from Kaleidoscope, but for the most part, they're able to just have the one group that comes in. We have six that come in, and so we're always working from a, you know, how do we get all these kids on the same page? They came from six different math teachers and that all had six different ways and maybe got to six different spaces in the or places in the sixth grade math book. And so we already do a lot of diagnostic when they come in, trying to figure out where they are and getting them all on the same page. And so we're prepared to do that again. I think that we may find some larger gaps than we typically do, but we'll fill them in the first quarter or the first couple of weeks to get everybody on the same page and move forward from there.
And then the last thing I wanted to check in with you about is what your job ended up being this last quarter. I mean, you're usually, you know, out greeting kids and dealing with kids and supporting teachers and dealing with kids. And obviously the kids are not physically there anymore. So how did your gig end up changing?
Yeah, it felt like I went immediately when I hadn't wrapped my mind around what I was doing. It felt like I went from a 60-hour work week to like a 20-hour work week. You know, I mean, I was here, but I wasn't chasing my tail and running around, and my phone wasn't blowing up with parent issues and kid issues. And any given time, I look out my window here to the office, and I may have three or four students down here that for behavior stuff or even social emotional stuff that they need the principal to help them with. And that was gone, and so it took a little while to figure out, you know, where I was needed. Obviously, my email, it just never stopped dinging, you know, just since we've been on the phone here for a couple of minutes, you know, five, six, seven emails have come in that require my attention. You know, if I'm out of my office for an hour or two, that number just gets to be very large, and each of those require their own kind of attention. And that's year-round, whether we're in school or out of school. But, you know, we had a weekly staff meeting. It took around an hour that I had to prepare for that had all the new updates from district office, any kind of plans moving forward. I spent a lot of my time making sure that I didn't waste time with our staff in that staff meeting that, you know, we had to have 50 people on a Zoom meeting. You want to be able to move quickly and get the right stuff out there. But at the same time, honoring, we have staff who are leaving us. We have staff who are retiring. We're hiring new staff. And so doing all of those kinds of things, taking time to, you know, update staff on our hires and as people, you know, leave, giving them the opportunity to say goodbye to their colleagues or at least talk about it. So lots of things going on weekly in those staff meetings. I have meetings with district office and all the members of those folks where they update us on what's what's happening, as you can imagine. Just like the governor's nightly update at 5 o'clock, we were getting some of the same kinds of things from our superintendent and our assistant superintendents and curriculum people and everything. And so gathering all of that information. And then this is the time of year where I'm really preparing for next year, where I'm getting the calendar ready. I'm putting all the new things. I have my final site council meeting on Monday where we'll be discussing next year, wrapping up this year, discussing next year. So as I do all of that, still with kind of the, I don't know what next year is going to look like, you know, that part's been difficult. But I have kind of figured out my new role through this, and there's plenty of work to be done, and I've continued to do that. And I feel now like I'm just really kind of figuring out. It's kind of like any new job where you kind of fake it till you make it. I did a little bit of that for a couple of weeks, and then now I've got it figured out.
Well, hopefully you don't have to continue it come fall.
For sure. I look forward to the kids coming back. Right now we're trying to put every year the last school day when the buses pull out, and I don't know if you've ever seen Skyview's buses, but it really looks like no other school in the district. We have 17 buses. Kids get on, and as they leave at the last day of school, our whole entire staff stands out there and waves as kids leave on the bus and all of our parent pickup people leave. It's really like the culminating moment of our year. And we just talked at our staff meeting yesterday about how to kind of recreate that. And I put a proposal into district office today for all of our teachers to be able to stand down at the Y in Soldotna on the last day of school at the lunch break from noon to one. With signs telling our students that we miss them and have a great summer and wave. And we're going to ask our parents, if they can, to drive through with their kiddos and wave back. But it might be a lot of waving just at our community members and stuff. But none of our staff members wanted to give up that last culminating moment that we've been doing for 20-plus years of the last day of school, kind of waving goodbye. So I haven't heard back from the superintendent yet if he's going to allow us to do that. We obviously would keep our social distance down there and be in all different areas of the Soldotna Y where we weren't on top of each other. But we want to be able to still do that. And you know, we had to cancel our eighth grade celebration this year, which also goes along with our student speaker, who's our, you know, Masonic Student of the Year and has earned that privilege to speak at that celebration. And any of our retiring staff typically get to say a few words. And so because those things have went away, we wanted to have some way to wave at kids and say goodbye to kids. And our staff who are retiring, if you can imagine, you put in a 25 or 30 year teaching career and it's coming to an end without any students in your classroom. We want to try to honor those folks somehow. So we're hopeful that we can do that on the 20th of May.
Nice. Yeah, that would be a nice send-off. I'm sure the community would appreciate getting to participate in that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, we've gotten a lot of really good feedback. One of the things that when we first started our weekly communication with kids and parents that we told our staff was in the real intense part of the shutdown, lots of stuff was going on in lots of families. I mean, you know, people not going to work, wondering how they're going to pay their bills. And I just told our teachers, you know, when they call, to be really empathetic with whoever answers the phone with regard to what might be going on in their home, you know. And we did have some very frustrated parents. We did have some folks yell and scream at us here and there once in a while. Not too many of those, but I think we all need to understand everybody's life was turned upside down. We're asking moms and dads to be teachers at home, and maybe they don't have the background to do that, or maybe their job wouldn't necessarily allow that. And then, you know, like I mentioned already, with people's employment, with their ability to pay bills, there's just a lot going on. And so as we try to teach and work with our kids and our families, when we were calling home, we were just trying to make sure that we were, again, empathetic to what could be going on at the homes.
Well, it sounds like you have more emails to return to, but is there anything else that you want to add as far as what you've learned or maybe surprises along the way these last couple months?
You know, I'm always very, very proud of our school district. I'm a Kenai Peninsula Borough School District graduate. I grew up in Soldotna. I was inspired by the teachers that I had. They made me want to come back and be a teacher and coach. This is no different. The response from our district office folks right off the bat, their expectations of us, and I just felt like they were on it, you know. And then their direction to us, our teachers just ran with it. The professional development, I'm not sure how many people are aware, but our PD department immediately got right on all kinds of professional development for teachers with regard to how to use Zoom, with regard to how to use Google Classroom or Canvas. There was just nonstop professional development going on for the first few weeks. I mean, even maybe the first month, where I would sign on to a professional development thing and I'd see 8, 10, 12 teachers there listening in, learning how to use Google Classroom. I myself was learning. All of that was so impressive by our district and our district leadership. And I think it just trickled down to everybody. And it's part of the reason why I think it's been very successful. So that was the other thing that I think sometimes gets lost in this whole thing is we do have some great educators at our district office. They took off the minute this happened and put plans in place and got it out to all of the schools to where then us principals could move forward with our staff and then from obviously from the teachers right down to the students. There's also a lot of classified employees, you know, hourly employees in buildings, and they continue to come to work every single day and find things to do. Most classified employees' jobs are the kids. You know, their job's not lesson planning, their job's not creating tests. Their job is to work individually with groups of kids, and the kids aren't here. So we had to get creative in how to continue to have them working to help students, but doing it with students from afar. I go into our intensive needs SPED classroom, and I would see three or four of our aides Zooming with kids, helping them with their work. We had a huge science department overhaul here where we had lots of our aides in there. And, I mean, it looked like, there was every single thing out of every single shelf in our science classrooms. I mean, beakers and things it made me feel like I didn't pay attention in science because there was stuff I didn't even know what it was that was out on tables, and our aides were in there working to organize that and label it and inventory it. And so that's another piece that I don't want to be forgotten through this whole thing. Every KPBSD school district employee worked extremely hard during this time, and some of it was doing a job that they didn't necessarily sign up for.
Well, anything else that you would want to add?
Nope, I think that's it. I appreciate you guys continuing to research and write about it or broadcast about it.
Yeah, well, glad to hear things have gone as well as they have gone. I don't think anybody quite knew what to expect, so nice to hear you guys made it.
Yeah, and let's hope somehow, some way that we're back here at school in the fall.
Right, absolutely. Well, like you say, I think everybody's kind of figured out how to do this now, but I don't think anyone wants to continue doing this in the future.
And I think especially our students, the students I've talked to in some respects are so incredibly excited to get back to school when that's available. So hopefully, that can happen in the fall for their sake.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarge. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Have a great day.
That was Sarge Truesdell, principal at Skyview Middle School.